Someone made a comment on my video from yesterday, and I appreciate all these comments. Well, almost all of the comments. But this one was good, and it was about the train analogy that Jesus Christ's faith is the engine. Our faith simply, with no power of its own, latches onto the engine like a train car and gets pulled along with it. And this guy said, yes, and that's where the Christians still think, even with that analogy, Martin, the Christians still think that that they have the power, that they're making the free will decision to latch onto the engine. It's like, yeah, you can't get around these people, can you? These Christians who they'll insist on free will as they're melting like the Wicked Witch of the West. I'm melting. I have free will to the bitter end. All right, but this guy said, because he says they don't realize the truth of predestination. That's a big word, predestination. He says they don't understand that truth. And I said, that's it. You, sir, just gave me my topic for today. Only I don't like to say predestination. Why? Because it's a theological term. And as soon as you say, I believe in predestination, boom, everybody gets all crazy on you. They think they know what you mean. They probably do. But I just don't like familiar theological terms. I like to throw on them a scriptural term. Here's a scriptural term, designated beforehand. It's much more pictorial, more picturesque. Designated beforehand. And this is the reason why you can't sin your way out of salvation. Me? Jury's still out. I might be able to sin my way out of salvation. But you? Forget it. Why? Because we're designated beforehand for the place of a son. But when I tell you when we were designated beforehand, you will realize why Paul says what he does in 2 Timothy 1:9. And if you don't yet realize what Paul does say in 2 Timothy 1:9, you will realize it before I'm finished with you today. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world. We to be holy and flawless in his sight, in love, designating us beforehand for the place of a son, for him, it's for him, through Christ Jesus. This is a mouthful. I could do a sub-series with 100 parts just on what I read. And you know me by now. You know I'm not kidding. Notice one key difference here in the concordant version, the CLNT, that you will not see in the regular versions. They will say, from the foundation of the world, that he chooses us from the foundation of the world. They don't even believe that. But that's a wrong translation. Because this properly translated scripture says that he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world. The disruption of the world. That word disruption in the Hebrew, it's katabole. This is the downcasting of the world. If you read Genesis 1:1, here's what you read. Created by the Elohim. Were the heavens and the earth. Elohim is plural for God. It's one who places things. God created the world through Jesus Christ. They were in cooperation. We read about that in Colossians chapter 1. Anyway, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth. Yet the earth became a chaos and vacant. It was not created that way. The earth was not. The earth was created to be inhabited. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 14 or something like that. I'll put the verse here. The earth was created to be inhabited. We're talking about an earth before the earth that Adam came to be on. There was an earth created by the Elohim where the heavens and the earth. The earth became a chaos and vacant. This was the disruption of the world. And the disruption of the world, I believe, was the first incident of sin in the universe. Because, ladies and gentlemen, sin did not begin with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that? That was the first sin that entered into the human race. But sin, that is a disruptive element that opposes God, happened way before humanity was even on the earth, even before the earth was readjusted for Adam to inhabit it. The first earth was disrupted by some sort of rebellion in the heavens. What does this have to do with us being chosen in Christ? Because he designated us before the disruption of the world. If the disruption of the world was the beginning of sin in the universe, and if we were signed and sealed, designated beforehand, before there was any such thing as sin, how can sin screw up your salvation? Is it a disgrace? This is why God goes out of his way to give this revelation to Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of when we were designated beforehand. I'm taking it to the next level, people. It's not just that we were designated beforehand. That's great enough. But that Paul goes to great lengths, God does, to tell Paul that we were designated beforehand before sin even entered the universe. It's like, let's say you know that your computer's going to be smashed or something. Let's say there's a meteor coming to your house, and you want to make sure everything's set up, everything's safe. So you take your information on your computer, you send it to the cloud. Send it to the cloud, quick. You should do this anyway. Have some kind of server on the cloud where you can back up your files. You could use a backup computer, but if that meteor comes to your house, then your backup computer or your flash drive or whatever is going to be destroyed. Send it to the cloud. Guess what God did? He sent us to the cloud. We were on the cloud before the disruption of the world, before sin came in to wreck everything. It was already secured. Our salvation, our being designated beforehand for the place of a son, was already sealed. It was already good to go, and God put it on the cloud before you were signed and sealed before that happened. It was already a done deal. Then the disruption came. So what is it? So your little habit's gonna wreck things? The disruption of the world didn't even wreck it. Now you're telling me that your narcissism or your greed or your gluttony or your adultery. I'm not recommending any sin. I'm not telling you you should sin. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that. There's no sin in the world you can name to me that can wreck something that was guaranteed, sealed, put on the cloud before sin was even invented. This is good news. This is called a gospel. This is what I'm bringing you. He lavishes it on us. I got two more passages to go into here. And boy, I would like to get to them, but I don't know. There's too many good things here. This is flawlessness in his sight, in love designating us before. And he did it because he loved us. But Martin, not everyone's designated beforehand. Right you are. Does he love us more than everybody else? Yeah, kinda. God is the savior of all humanity, so he loves all humanity, but especially of believers. John was called the disciple Jesus loved. That was written by John, by the way. Huh. Suspect. But does that mean he didn't love the other disciples? No. He did this because he loved us, designating beforehand for the place of a son, for the Lord of his glory and grace. For the Lord of the glory of his grace is how that actually reads. God does this for us, but chiefly it delights him. This is in accord with his delight. This grace which he lavishes on us in wisdom and prudence. He prudently lavishes us with grace. He sat down and thought about it. He was prudent. Very, very, I'm going to just think about this. I'm not going to do anything rash. Not going to do anything I'm going to regret later. I really feel like opening the floodgates for these individuals that I have designated beforehand. And he thought about it, and then he did it. He just let the floodgates of grace go. That's why Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the grace of God overwhelmed me. This is an overwhelming force that brings you to a realization of what has been accomplished. And there is an order to these things. How about some corroboration? Would you like that? On Monday, I'm going to take you through the steps of how you have come to realize this salvation, how you have come to realize the things that I just read to you in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to do that on Monday. But for now, I have a corroborating verse, and I love it when this happens. It happens all the time, because let God be true, though every man a liar. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Paul tells Timothy, suffer evil with the evangel. Why would you suffer evil for a message of good? Evangel means well message. Why would you suffer evil? We know why. Because grace offends people. That's why. Suffer evil with the evangel in accord with the power of God who saves us and calls us with a holy calling. That is a called out calling. A holy calling. Holy is dedicated to God. Something that is holy. H-O-L-Y. It doesn't mean it's morally correct. It doesn't mean it behaves itself. Holy has nothing to do with anybody's moral character. Because there were... Well, the land of Israel is called the Holy Land. How can land be moral or immoral? It can't be. Many of the utensils of the temple were holy. They were set apart for God's use. That's all it means. So we have been set apart on the cloud, you might say, for God's use. And this is verse 9, not in accord with our acts. Well, of course it's not, because we just read that in Ephesians chapter 1. Well, actually, we didn't read that in Ephesians chapter 1. This is why, now I realize, this is why I went here. In Ephesians chapter 1, we just found out that we were designated beforehand because God loved us before the disruption of the world, before sin even entered it, let alone the sin of Adam. Now we're getting, in 2 Timothy 1, 9, the practical result of this is that this calling is not in accord with our acts. This works perfectly with Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 is the truth behind it. This is the manifestation of that truth in our lives. This calling is not in accord with our acts. Isn't that a good thing? Because if it was in accord with our acts, then our calling, this is why many people in Christianity, they keep going to the altar. Every time there's an altar call, they have to make sure. They have to make sure. Why? Because between that time and the preceding altar call, they've committed lots of sins, probably. The Catholic Church made me try to think of my sins when I was a kid in Catholic Church. Every month, I had to go back to the priest. It was a schedule. Time to tell your sins to Father Oliver. But I don't have any sins. I didn't do anything wrong this month. Why do I have to? Make some up, kid. Make some up. So I would make up sins just to say something to Father Oliver. Because our salvation in the Catholic Church was in accord with our acts. And so, not just the Catholic Church now, all of Christendom, they are on a roller coaster ride. Some days they're flying high in Christ. Some days they're down low in Christ. Some days they're flying high. Some days they're down low. Why is this? It's because some days they behave themselves. Some days they don't. How would you like an evangel that is not in accord with that? Here it is. Paul says, who can imagine why anybody would suffer evil for announcing this? This is the best news ever. Suffer evil with the evangel in accord with the power of God who saves us and calls us. Saves us and calls us with a holy calling that is just grabs us. I'm using you. I could have chosen all these people, but I'm using you. Not in accord with our acts. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Not in accord. Our salvation, our calling. Neither one of those are in accord. None of them have any agreement or anything to do with it. There's no strings attached. There's no vital connection at all between our calling and our salvation and our acts. And the reason is given back in Ephesians chapter 1, because we were sealed, put on the cloud, designated beforehand in the love of God to be holy and flawless in His sight, designated for the place of a son before sin even entered into the universe. And this is in accord with His own purpose, His purpose, not yours, and the grace which is given to us in Christ Jesus before times aeonian, yet now is being manifested through the advent of our Savior Jesus Christ. There's so much here. Paul's taking it back even further. He's upping the bar. He's saying not only were we called before the disruption of the disruption of the world happened during the aeonian times. That happened during, it was the end of eon number one. Got a teaching on the eons. Go back on my website, you'll find teaching on the eons. But Paul's saying now that we were even given grace before the eons even began. And it is only now being manifested through the advent of our Savior Jesus Christ, who, after He rose from the dead, gave this message, these things I'm telling you, to the Apostle Paul. Welcome.